From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called God's Plan to Bring the Gospel to the World. The text is verses 11 through 21 of Romans chapter 10. The way of salvation is made abundantly clear in the Scriptures. Indeed, this plan is sufficient for the entire world. And yet, the message must be proclaimed. Paul said, "How shall they hear without a preacher?" And God has ordained the foolishness of preaching, or the foolishness of the thing preached, to save those who believe. This is the responsibility of the church and of every individual Christian. In the Great Commission, Christ commanded, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The gospel invitation extends to all, for whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. May the Lord give us all a burden to reach the lost for Christ. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought taken from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our text for this morning is found in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and verse 8. "I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love." Such is the language of the believer panting after present fellowship with Jesus. He is sick for his Lord. Gracious souls are never perfectly at ease, except they are in a state of nearness to Christ. For when they are away from him, they lose their peace. The nearer to him, the nearer to the perfect calm of heaven. The nearer to him, the fuller the heart is, not only of peace, but of life and vigor and joy, for these all depend on constant fellowship with Jesus. What the sun is to the day, what the moon is to the night, what the dew is to the flower, such is Jesus Christ to us. What bread is to the hungry, clothing to the naked, the shadow of a great rock to the traveler in a weary land, such is Jesus Christ to us. And therefore, if we are not consciously one with him, little marvel if our spirit cries in the words of the song, "I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, tell him that I am sick of love." This earnest longing after Jesus has a blessing attending it. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, and therefore, supremely blessed are they who thirst after the righteous one. Blessed is that hunger, since it comes from God. If I may not have the full-blown blessedness of being filled, I would seek the same blessedness in its sweet bud pining, in emptiness and eagerness, till I am filled with Christ. If I may not feed on Jesus, it shall be next door to heaven to hunger and thirst after him. There is a hallowedness about that hunger, since it sparkles among the Beatitudes of our Lord. But the blessing involves a promise. Such hungry ones shall be filled with what they are desiring. If Christ thus causes us to long after himself, he will certainly satisfy those longings. And when he does come to us, as come he will, oh, how sweet it will be!
Thank you.
Have a desire to study the Bible, but you're really not sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today.
Now we come to the climax of the chapter, verses 14 through 21. That seems a very long passage, but I hope deal with it rather succinctly. But I want you to get, now here's the great climax of the chapter. And it's one that must grip the heart of this preacher. And it must grip the heart of this church. And it must grip the soul of the whole Free Presbyterian movement. If we are ever to be anything for God, if we are to justify our existence as a claimed church of Jesus Christ, then this part of this chapter must grip our very being. And here it is. If the gospel is God's message to the world, then the world must hear it. And God in love has ordained the means to make sure that it does. Do you follow this? This is what the final section's all about. Right? Don't we believe the gospel is God's message for the world? Is there a Christian anywhere who has any doubt of that? But if the gospel is God's message for the world, then the world must hear the gospel. And in His sovereign love, God has ordained the means to make sure that it does. In verses 14 to 21, you have perhaps Paul's closest attempt. Well, maybe attempt's not the word. It's his closest treatment of the subject of the relation of God's sovereignty to human responsibility. J.A. Bengel, one of the greatest names in the history of New Testament interpretation, not to say that he was right in everything, but he certainly plowed a furrow that others have come along afterwards and have found great use in what he has done. J.A. Bengel summed up this passage as beautifully as anything I have ever seen. This is what he said. He who desires the end desires also the means. Now here's how he proves it. Follow it carefully down here. God desires man to call savingly on Him. This is what Paul is teaching. God desires man to call savingly on Him. Therefore, He desires them to believe. Therefore, He desires them to hear. Therefore, He desires them to have preachers. And therefore, He sends preachers. And that's the complete demonstration that Bengel works out here. And it's what I would call five links in God's chain of grace. The Lord desires men to call on Him. Indeed, He commands it. Oh, listen, in all our standing, and let me emphasize this, and if you find it difficult to relate all the parts, well then just admit you find it difficult, but don't fail to do this. In all our standing for sovereign grace, in all our standing for the eternal decrees of God at work in creation, providence, and redemption, let us never lose sight of the eternal innate goodness of God, who desires sinners savingly to call upon Jesus Christ. Never let us forget that heaven does not rejoice when men become millionaires. Heaven does not rejoice when men climb the ladder of success. Heaven does not rejoice when the world says you have really made it. Heaven rejoices when a sinner calls on God for salvation. Heaven rejoices when one poor, lost, guilty, wandering soul is saved by faith in Jesus. That's what makes heaven rejoice. That's what makes the bells of glory peal. That's, if I could put it very, very colloquially, that's what brings a smile to the face of the eternal. God loves to hear the cry of a penitent soul more than any other sound on earth that man can utter. Can you hear it? He desires sinners to be saved. I abominate, and I trust I make it clear, If I had a stronger word, I would use it. But I abominate this utter, absolute, wicked perversion of the gospel of sovereign grace that has God standing back as some almost careless, hard-hearted, disinterested person. While sinners perish, I hear preachers and they have talked about God having such little interest in the salvation of sinners as a generality that outside of his elect he has nothing good to say or do for them, and all he does is fatten them for eternal damnation. Man, I hate that sort of perversion of the goodness of God. I cannot explain all the workings of the divine mind. I can't explain any of the workings of the divine mind. But I can tell you that when God says, as he clearly does here, that he desires sinners to call on him, then I believe it. I believe it. And make no bones about it. He desires them. He commands all men everywhere to repent. Remember what we read this morning? When he sent forth his disciples, what was it to do? It was to go out into the world. And he's giving a poetical description, a parabolic description of the Gentile world. And he says, you go, and everybody you can get in, you get them in. To the marriage. He desires sinners to call on him. But sinners cannot call without faith in Christ. This is more than just some passing word that flows off the lips unthought and really with no care. They cannot call without faith in Jesus Christ. But they cannot have faith unless they hear the gospel. Now, I have to be very careful I don't get off on a tangent here. Is it any wonder that churches are in the mess they're in today? Is it any wonder that there's so much dead, empty religious profession as there is today? When the gospel is conspicuous by its absence from most so-called evangelical church services? When you've got to the place in evangelicalism where there is theologically hardly a hair's breadth of difference between what they're preaching and what the Pope preaches, is it any wonder that men are not by faith passing from death unto life? They cannot have faith without hearing the gospel, and they cannot hear the gospel without preachers. And listen, they cannot preach. Doesn't matter what preparation they have, it doesn't matter what degrees they have, it doesn't matter what talent they have, it doesn't matter any of those things. They cannot preach except God has sent them. Now that's the message. And the truth of this passage is the Lord has done all this. He has sent preachers to preach the gospel, to produce faith that will lead men to call on the name of the Lord. That's why in verse 15 he says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How beautiful a thing for God to approach men with such good tidings of peace. Now, he came to the Jews, but they didn't obey the gospel. It's very interesting. Actually, it doesn't come through clearly in translation, but it's very interesting as Paul wrote this, because the words are fundamentally the same, just a prefix in verse 16. But in verse 16 and verse 18, you will see that the Jews heard the gospel, but they did not hearken to the gospel. And that gives you a better feel for the words that he used. They heard, but they did not hearken. If you look at verse 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And yet these people heard the word of God, and they did not come to faith. In other words, they were despising the means of grace. They had no excuse. As verses 18 and 19 make it clear, they did hear. Not only did they hear the general message of the gospel, but as these quotations prove, they heard the actual truth of God bringing in the Gentiles on the heels of Jewish objection and Jewish rejection of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They heard all that. They were well warned. But when the event came, they still did not believe. So I come back almost full circle. I said there was a question we all had to answer when we heard the gospel. Well, let me come to it now in another way. Here he quotes from Isaiah 53, "Who hath believed our report?" The implication there is that most of those who hear are not believing. Certainly that was true among the Jews. There was a time when the Gentiles on hearing were flocking in great numbers. That's still true in certain parts of the world. But look at America. Look at Greenville. And ask yourself the question, who hath believed our report or our message? You've heard it. You've been well warned. You've been well invited. But who hath believed our report? And again the question comes, have you? It's interesting here that in saving the Gentiles, God was provoking the Jews. It provoked them to anger. But in reality, it should have provoked them to faith. And if you stop and think of it tonight, realize this. Here in America, if a Christian teaching in a local school got up and quoted John 3:16, he or she would lose their job. In what was, until very recently, and may be becoming again for all I know, communist Russia, and what is communist China, they're bringing Christian teachers in to their schools to teach that very truth. Strange world we live in. Some time ago, last May or June was it, Dr. Barrett brought Dr. Brown here as a special preacher for the seminary at its commencement exercise. He described to us in private conversation how he had gone to communist China as a visiting scholar to go into the universities and to teach, and he was teaching some particular, I think it was medieval English literature, something like that. Cut a long story short, how they would bring in the Bible. How they would line up for the Bible. And here's a strange thing, by the way. I'll not go into this in detail, but I thought this was very telling. They asked for the Bible, and they asked them, well, which version of the Bible, thinking that they would want to have some modern English version more easily understood. And they said that they wanted the authorized version. And he asked them, why? I mean, all the F's and S's, etc. Why do you want that version? And here are young people raised in communism, having just had some passing acquaintance with reading the scriptures. Just a very passing acquaintance. But even they knew enough to say, even in reading it, it sounds holy, but the others don't.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.